from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
Wow, the vapors, huh? Listen to Sean Sears getting all topical and creative with the music. Yes, please. Although it's not really about what the song, what it sounds like it's about.
Right.
Well, I mean, it is what it is about, the song, if you know what it's about. But that's not why you called. I could do a long dissertation on the vapors and that song.
We'll
but talk that's
after
that's
the show.
Yeah, we can talk after the show. Still, nothing back from my guy on Lionel Richie. I'll keep everybody up to date frantically, don't worry, on my attempts to get Lionel Richie onto the score, or at least get the review of the mustache wax that he endorses in hopes of giving it to Dylan Cease to make his opening day start just that much more awesome. Awesome is the work that is done by Just Baseball. You have heard Aram Layton lately on the Midday Show a couple times in the last week and a half or so. You have heard Jack McMullen on this show before. You've probably heard me talk about Jack McMullen as well. And Jack joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. The Circa Resort and Casino is a phenomenal place, and it is the home of the world's largest sports book. And Jack joins me right now, play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA team, and host from Just Baseball, who was down in Florida for the World Baseball Classic. I followed your Twitter account with envy and a little bit of anger. Like, I've always known, Jack. Hello, by the way. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt. I'm kind of ready for your dissertation on the vapors, so feel free to go ahead and rip that.
Yeah, I'll call you after the show as well.
Perfect.
I'll let you know about that. And I've got a whole one-hit wonders 80s thing that I do. It's a PowerPoint. It's really fun. You could invite a friend or three. I think you'd enjoy.
Cool transitions on the PowerPoint.
Yeah, of course. Of course, man. Come on.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, you think that wasn't part of my my basic communication degree from Emerson College in 1992? Is that what you think? That they didn't show me that kind of stuff?
Absolutely fair.
Yeah, okay, good. So, Jack, here's the thing. I've always known that one day I would end up working for you, right? and I've known that that's going to happen at some point, but to have you at the World Baseball Classic. I think this is a good use of radio time, by the way, is for me to like vent my feelings towards you directly. To have you there while I was not there was frankly, and I wanted to be there or in Arizona, it was a shock to the system, and it was damaging to my overall baseball confidence and inner credibility. So your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah. Well, thanks for leaving the floor open to me with that. No, I mean, tell you what, little anger is for sure a good thing. No, man, I mean, I was dealing with imposter syndrome when I was there as well. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why am I here right now? Like, am I worthy of being in the same building as Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout as they give us one of the best baseball moments in recent history, if not all of Major League history? So,
yeah,
like, I was certainly doing the pinch myself thing. And don't worry, the second or third thought that came to my mind was, how am I here and Matt Spiegel isn't?
But you seem to enjoy it. Tell us what it felt like there when impossibly this moment that people had talked about for like a year and a half. Boy, it'd be fun if Ohtani had to face Trout sometime in that tournament, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, you know, sure, that'd be great. And then you talk about everything else. Boy, the Dominican lineup looks great. But sometime, somehow, some way, we got to get Ohtani and Trout. The fact that it ends up happening in the ninth inning of a one-run game and it goes to full count and it's everything. I mean, how does it feel to be in the house for that, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, the script gets turned down by Hollywood because it's too corny, if that's the case. Like, that was, I cannot believe this is happening. And, you know, I haven't felt the sensation that I felt sitting in the stands for a baseball game like that, maybe in my life. I watched Burley's perfect game on TV, and I think that's the last time as a fan, and, you know, I was 11 years old at that time. It was that sensation again, where all of a sudden I cannot believe that I'm lucky enough to be in this place watching this moment unfold in front of my very eyes. And it was take my glasses off and then put my glasses back on, and wow, I'm really here and I'm really seeing this. You know, there were a couple of moments during that Japan-Mexico semifinal that made me feel a subdued version of that. Randy Arozarena robbing that home run and then just mean mugging into the camera for a couple seconds was certainly a moment like that. Munetaka Murakami's walk-off double that was just stung. It hit the wall on the fly. It was 111 miles an hour off the bat, which is just crazy. You know, that moment felt like that because it was such a rapid turn, and it was the highest high that, you know, you'll experience. But then seeing that bullpen door swing open and watching the best player on the planet come out of there and walk and getting the applause as soon as you see that number 16 in white pop out of that bullpen door was just freaking insane. And then working through the first two to get to Trout, nobody was sitting. And I think everybody understood the magnitude of what was going on. So I was with three other guys, one of which was filming. And me and two others pretty much said, hey, send me this because I don't want to be trapped by a cell phone right now. That was as cool a baseball moment as I can ever remember as a fan.
Yeah, it was incredible on TV, and I'm sure incredible there. Jack McMullen from Just Baseball joining us here on 670 The Score. So a couple of spin-off questions in terms of what the WBC means and what it's going to do for baseball moving forward. What did you see from the atmosphere? And I saw videos that you tweeted and that others had tweeted of just like an hour before the game, especially fans of Mexico and fans of Puerto Rico with just incredible passion and loudness. Did you also see that from the Japanese fans? And what was their vibe like? And what can baseball in general, you know, what can it do to help promote those bits of atmosphere at a ballpark? Or is it just fully created by fans and vibes and is not something that MLB can cop directly?
Yeah, I don't think it's something that Major League Baseball can replicate, unfortunately. And, you know, I say that because the only thing to get more of this is play this thing consistently. And I know that there were, you know, COVID complications and other complications that, you know, prohibited us from doing it in 2020 and in the last couple of years, but we'll get it back in 26. And what I will say is, you know, just make sure you savor these moments when they're here, because that's something that like can't even be replicated by the World Series, because there's a national pride. Of course, people are Cubs fans, they're White Sox fans, but you know, imagine showing up and you're Puerto Rican and you get to cheer on Team Puerto Rico. I mean, people on the island, what, it was a 61% household rating for that last group play game that Puerto Rico played. 61% of Puerto Rican TVs that were on the World Baseball Classic. You don't get that in the World Series. Like, you're lucky to flirt with, I don't know, high single digits, maybe 10, in terms of a household rating. So everybody's bought in here. I don't think that there is a way to get that level of fervor and that level of a 2-0 pitch in the second in a scoreless game mattering in Major League Baseball. And then circling back to the Japan thing, the Japanese fans without a doubt, the nicest fan base that I have ever seen. And they showed out, man. They were there for the U.S.-Cuba semi the night before the Mexico-Japan semi. And after that Mexico-Japan semifinal, and after the final when Japan did beat the U.S., everybody was happy. The amount of Mexican fans that I saw after the semi that were smiling and taking photos with Japanese fans was insane because they're so respectful. You know, it's almost like they were apologizing for winning and they meant it sincerely. It is such a beautiful way to ingest baseball. And you have that coupled with, you know, like the Latin way to ingest baseball that we saw from the Dominican fans and the Puerto Rican fans and the Cuban fans. It was just really, really cool. And every fan base was pretty unique. And might I say, I think the U.S. fan base was the most boring.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like there's a level of acceptance and understanding of what this moment kind of signifies. Our friend John Morosi wondered if this was a inflection point for baseball. If we're going to look back, you know, in a decade or a couple of decades and see a globalization that is much, much further along, perhaps in part because of this moment and the popularity of the WBC. And I think that is indeed on the table. Like basketball is bigger as a global sport than the NBA. Baseball as a game and baseball as a global sport is not bigger than MLB. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be at some point. That's on the table. And I found that this experience, this WBC experience, kind of clarified in terms of people you talked to about it. And I wonder if this is your experience in dealing with all the fans that you guys deal with at Just Baseball. Are you an MLB fan? Are you a team-specific MLB fan? Or are you a fan of the game? Do you love the game and do you love the sport? And this is a moment to kind of have a reckoning with that. It's similar to if you're driving by an American Legion game on a beautiful summer night, would you ever consider stopping just to watch the game because it looks cool? You know, it's that kind of reckoning moment, really, when you get down to it. I wonder if that's been your experience.
For sure, yeah. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, with social media and highlights kind of taking over, I'm not sure if that fan is back where they pull over and watch a Little League game. But what I will say is baseball at the highest level is probably in as good of a spot as it has been in the last couple of decades. And if somebody were to say, oh, well, I'm just a Major League Baseball fan, you know, I don't really know about anything else, might I point you to watching Roki Sasaki during that semifinal against Mexico, where the first pitch of the game was 101, and then he struck out Randy Arozarena on an 102-mile-an-hour fastball that took off like an absolute rocket ship. I mean, that guy's not coming over for five more years. So if you appreciate baseball at the highest level, there's immense talent elsewhere. Yes, it's in Nippon professional baseball in Japan, but you know, you can also see these guys that are showing out in the minor leagues. I think the overall talent is as good as it has ever been in the minor leagues. So, you know, I know that it is the thing if you're on, you know, vacation with your family, hey, there's a local minor league team, let's go do that, just taking a ball game. I think now there could be a bit more baseball intrigue because more and more kids, because the stars are so good, want to look like their stars. And you know, Randy Arozarena, we're going to feel his ripple effect in baseball in Mexico for the next 3 years until the next WBC, and he'll probably be playing for Mexico again in the next WBC. So it's star power that drives involvement, I think, and I think that'll help with the fans. And what's the common saying? Jordan made the game global. LeBron made the game mobile. I think a guy like Ohtani is making the game global because that proves that, hey, you know what? The best baseball player on the planet doesn't need to come from Texas or California and wear, you know, the smeared eye black and play in the area code games and wear fighting necklaces and all that. You know, they can just come from the simplest version of the game.
Well, it's good stuff with Jack McMullen. But as you're describing that, player who doesn't necessarily have to be Gunnar Henderson, I'm finding myself thinking about Gunnar Henderson, you know, blonde with the eye black. But of course, he's from Alabama and not California. Right. A couple more minutes with Jack. So here's the thing. Here in Chicago, Javier Assad has a real good chance to make the Cubs opening day roster, in part because of his WBC experience. There were like five members of the White Sox who had impactful, really, I think, and I hope, important World Baseball Classic moments. Tim Anderson being loved by Mark DeRosa and inserted into the lineup and forcing his way with swagger into the hitting group that DeRosa wanted to actually watch take BP, and then just realizing that he needed him and putting him in the lineup was a great thing. Yoan Moncada found his stroke, homered yesterday in a spring training game for the White Sox as well. Eloy Jimenez looked really good for the Dominicans at the plate. And there's more. Jose Ruiz, as a situational reliever, had some incredible high leverage moments that are going to be necessary for the White Sox as they deal with no Liam Hendricks from the get-go. Do you think we'll see a WBC bump from any of the people that you got to watch down there, Jack?
Man, I hope so. And I think that the national recognition of Tim Anderson is long overdue. I think that he's got it in spurts, but now I think people will tune into White Sox games to watch Tim Anderson. He has that national appeal. And I know that you had Joe Buck on, I think, last year, maybe 2 years ago. And he said in regards to Tim Anderson after the Field of Dreams game, like, this guy has face of baseball makeup.
He said that guy ought to be the face of baseball after T.A.'s walk-off homer in the corn game, as Tony La Russa called it.
Yeah, and what about his WBC performance says, maybe he shouldn't be the face of baseball, right? He's fun. He's exciting. He's willing to do other things to try and help his country win. He had never played second base in a professional setting, and all of a sudden, he's playing it on Fox. He's playing it in front of millions of people watching, and he's, you know, throwing off balance, and it looks awkward at times, but he doesn't care, man. That guy has so much fun doing this. I hope, as somebody that did grow up a White Sox fan, that Yoan Moncada certainly receives this bump, because a good Yoan Moncada would unlock a new level of White Sox baseball. But yeah, I think this bump is real, man, and I think that Javier Assad is the best example of that. I'm Team Assad. I saw him throw in Indianapolis last year for Iowa, and he was Aram Layton, one of my co-hosts on the Just Baseball Show. We've talked about Assad because last year he was five or six pitches on any given night, and they're all like subdued. Like no pitch is truly nasty. All of a sudden, he goes from 92 to 96 in two-inning relief roles. So why can't he be a great reliever for the Chicago Cubs? So I think that's like the perfect guy to get this bump. But I think Tim Anderson, you see a notoriety bump. Hopefully Yoan Moncada, you see a performance bump. Eloy Jimenez, maybe you see a confidence bump. And hopefully it's a health bump. You know, that type of thing. I think everybody is going to benefit from participating in this.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Talked about Assad in the first segment today. Keegan Thompson having velocity issues. Maybe Assad is the guy who just kind of slides into that multi-inning reliever role if Thompson is deemed not quite ready to be trusted in bulk at this moment. But we'll see. Lots of stuff to play out. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Last thing for you, Jack. Tell me a couple players that you're really excited to see. Young players around the game. As you mentioned, RM, you guys like cover the prospects and know the prospects so well, and you getting to see so many of these guys at AAA. Give us some young players that are going to kind of light our screens on fire in the next few months.
Yeah, well, former Cub Taylor Davis and I are hosting a new podcast on the Just Baseball Network, and we just had Gunnar Henderson on last week, and Gunnar is as level-headed as you could possibly find a guy, and I think that guy is due for an absolutely insane breakout. Corbin Carroll with the Arizona Diamondbacks is about as flawless a prospect as you will find. He is 30 stolen base threat with 20 homers, and he is the best-looking triple, just running home to third, as you will find in the game. And then Jordan Walker is now on the Cardinals opening day roster, and unfortunately that's a guy that's going to give Cubs fans nightmares for the next 6 years plus. And Jordan Walker, I think, is probably the best power hitting prospect in baseball right now. I think that's a guy that, much like Eloy Jimenez, can plug in and hit 30 home runs as a rookie for the Cardinals this year.
Jordan Walker is 20 years old, is going to skip AAA completely, which is much more common these days, that if like a guy seems ready, because a lot of times, as you know, Jack, and I've talked about, the pitching competition at AA can be very valuable. Why is this more of a thing these days, that people are just skipping AAA?
You know, I think you're seeing it from a lot of teams that just want to win right now. And there's no point in, you know, waiting for these guys to get seasoned. Like, think about the two prime examples last year that skipped triple entirely. They both came from the same team that was near the top of the NL East in Michael Harris and Vaughn Grissom with the Atlanta Braves. So, right. I mean, Harris, like, he just seemed ready. And it's not like he was going to learn to walk more in AAA. It's not like he was going to, you know, see harder fastballs in AAA. AAA just has more experienced pitchers that can put the ball wherever they want. You may see the best stuff in double because that's typically like the prospect spot, quote unquote. So I think guys like that, where you don't think the game is going to change that much for them and you want them to help you win, I think those are the type of guys that you're going to see make that jump. And selfishly, I'm pissed about it. I want to see these guys in AAA.
But you know, it's bigger than you, Jack. It's bigger than you. You know, like I've said to so many. Yeah, like I've said to so many who were grumpy about the World Baseball Classic. You know, that's adorable, but it's not about you. It's about the game. It's about the overall health of the thing. And if fans get to see a 20-year-old Jordan Walker, so it goes. All right, man. Thank you so much, folks. Listen to all the Just Baseball podcasts, but not when you should be listening to 670 The Score. That's the best I can do. You know.
Fair. Thank you, Matt.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks. As Jack McMullen right there on 670 The Score. Trey Mancini of the Cubs scheduled to join us in about 20 minutes. Let's touch on Jordan Walker and a couple other of the things that are going to be really, really interesting in the Cubs division and the White Sox division as opening day looms for Thursday. It's The Score. It's Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, it's you don't know what to say. It's just one of those things where it's my first time doing it. I don't know. It's crazy. You just don't know what to say. Something you hope for, but. Tommy kind of caught me off guard. He goes, yeah, I need to talk to you from scheduling stuff. And then I walked into Rossi's office. So he did a good job kind of surprising me with it a little bit, I guess.
That's hilarious. That's Hayden Wesneski, the fifth starter for the Cubs, on being named the fifth starter for the Chicago Cubs. It's Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Going to talk to Trey Mancini at the top of the hour. Or actually, no, we'll talk to Trey Mancini less than that, 15 minutes from now, theoretically. We'll see. But anyway, here are David Ross and Tommy Hodavy talking about Hayden Wesneski being named that fifth starter.
Well, one is performance, but I think piggybacking on last year and building up and, you know, seems to to be right where he left off. I mean, throwing the ball really well, touched 97 the other day, so the arm strength's there, executing pitches. I mean, he's had a really, really nice spring, so he's earned it.
Work ethic, what he's done to put himself in this position to not only, one, go out and continue the success he had, but also handle what's expected of him from a workload perspective, from a team's perspective. And I think he's lived up to all the things that we kind of hoped he would be and put on his plate. And it's been fun to see him continue to grow. He knows there's still a lot that he wants to accomplish and he wants to keep working on. This is kind of that first step for him, but he's definitely put himself in a really good position with what he's done this offseason and then again here in spring training.
You know, we've talked a lot about Hayden Wisniewski here in March. Had Daniel Moskos, the Cubs' assistant pitching coach, on the show, our first one a few weeks back, and that was really terrific stuff on Wisniewski and more. And he's really exciting because of the swing and miss possibility of the stuff, but also the work ethic, like Hadavi talked about right there, the makeup that Ross talked about right there, and just kind of all of the different factors we've heard about. The other day on Parkins and Spiegel, we had Sahadev Sharma on, and I asked him if it was on the table, if it was a possibility that by midseason, we're talking about Hayden Wisniewski as the best starting pitcher on the Cubs. Like, is it possible that, obviously, Jameson Taillon is a incredibly solid acquisition. Marcus Stroman is the deserved opening day starter. Justin Steele is somebody that people are very, very excited about. Having an interesting spring because his velocity's down a little bit, but nobody seems to be too worried about it because he doesn't just get you with velocity. He gets you with pitch mix. He gets you with sequencing. And really, it's the pitch mix and the different looks and stuff like that. So, there's that. And then, there's Drew Smyly, who's very, very solid and was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. But Wisniewski as the five is incredibly appetizing and somebody that you can dream about because the swing and miss stuff is there. And so you wonder, how the hell did they get him for Scott F. Ross, who then got hurt? But it's one of those, you hope that you're looking back on this as one of those, that's amazing. It's Efros? Really? Friend of the show, Scott Efros, Indiana University product. Hope he has a healthy recovery in New York as a member of the Yankees. So, look, opening day on Thursday means that we know every starting pitcher because they were forced to announce it and lock it in stone on Friday by MLB. What an incredibly obvious and intuitive and sensible, way overdue decision by MLB. By the way, Cubs Spring Training Conversation on the Score is sponsored by Sloan, official water efficiency partner of the Chicago Cubs. But my goodness, the fact that it took this long to divorce ourselves of the tradition of Cincinnati going first. I don't even remember. Nobody loves stupid baseball traditions more than me. I adore stupid baseball traditions. I really do. But I can't even tell you why Cincinnati was first. Did the Red Legs? It's because that was the first... the first organization in the 1880s, probably? I should know the answer to this, but I'm not in Cincinnati. Ask a Brenneman. You know, I'm sure Tom's available. Marty is the one I want to talk to, and Marty is the one I will be talking to at some point during the year because I'm launching a podcast. Remind me next hour, Sean Sears, remind me to tell our listeners about the podcast I'm launching. I'm very excited about it. Going to be coming from Odyssey and Major League Baseball working together. I'm very, very excited about this. It's not Beat the Streak. It's a different thing. BTS, it's not BTS Daily. Not doing that this year, but I've got a different one that I'm very, very excited about. So we'll talk about it. But finally, here we are, and we can look at the pitching matchups. Max Scherzer versus Sandy Alcantara for the Mets and the Marlins at 3:00 on Thursday. There's going to be games all day long. Logan Webb and Garrett Cole starting at noon for the Yankees and the Giants. Aaron Nola and Jacob DeGrom for his new team, the Rangers, down in Texas. Luis Castillo, now that the trade is finalized, Castillo, the anointed ace of the Seattle Mariners, goodness, against Shane Bieber and the Guardians. That's a late night game. That's like a 9:10 local time game. I mean, the matchups are just incredible. Obviously, Dylan Cease and Framber Valdez at 6:08 p.m. in Houston. That's how the White Sox get going. After three straight opening day starts by Lucas Giolito, it's Dylan Cease. We know about Corbin Burns and Marcus Stroman right here on the Score. There's so many interesting ones. For the Twins, it's Pablo Lopez, the new acquisition they got from the Marlins, going against Zach Greinke and the Royals at 3:10. I mean, everywhere you look, it's going to be interesting, compelling matchups, as opening day is supposed to be. And this time, they're all going to be slammed together in the same time frame. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Big-time roster decisions coming for the White Sox and for the Cubs. Waiting on some of those, frankly, I thought that some would be made during the show, and it is entirely possible that some of those still will happen within the show. Leury Garcia, I don't believe, is going to make the White Sox. We'll see what happens there, but I'll be very surprised if Leury Garcia is on the final White Sox roster. Pedro Grifol probably waiting to talk to Leury about that directly before any official news comes out on that. And in terms of the Cubs, we'll be learning in the next couple of days. And then the teams are here, and the games are here. Shane Reardon is taking batting practice at Wrigley Field tomorrow, along with several members of the media, the baseball media. I think I got to go by and watch that and heckle. I think that's what I should do. I mean, so I start the hour jealous of my nephew, Jack McMullen, for being at the World Baseball Classic, and I'm gonna round the hour into form here, being jealous about Shane Reardon taking batting practice at Wrigley. This is no way to live. This is no way to live, people. So I won't.
He was saying he thinks he can hit a home run at Wrigley Field. He thinks he's going to hit one out of the park at this bat.
I know. I don't believe that is the case.
Maybe with a Louisville Slugger metal bat.
God. And as we talk about opening day and the Cubs home opener, I'm thinking of my dear friend Lynn Bramer, and I will be thinking of him even more because the Wrigley opener has been about Lynn as much as it has been about baseball and the Cubs for me, certainly since I started once again at the Score full-time in 2009. I mean, Lynn and XRT doing their opening day broadcasts, and if anybody doesn't know, my band Tributosaurus was the house band for Lynn for several years. I was the only guy that I know who ever did the double. If anybody else out there knows anyone who's ever done that, you do one radio show on an FM station, followed by another radio show on the AM station, both baseball-based, walking down the street from one bar to the other. Did that like 6 or 7 times. And it's going to be awkward not having Lynn and not being able to talk to him on Thursday for opening day. But life and time marches on with relentless fervor. Very excited to talk to our next guest. The Cubs right fielder, first base, and DH, the former Baltimore Oriole, the cancer survivor, Trey Mancini, scheduled to join us next on Hit and Run. We will step aside, come back, hopefully talk to Trey Mancini. Next hour, you'll hear about Paul Konerko, number 4 on my 30 favorite ball players the last 30 seasons. You'll hear a snippet of Nico Horner from earlier in the week on Parkins and Spiegel. And we'll continue to take your calls at 312-644-6767. It is Hit and Run on the Score.
1-0. Yeah, that's drilled. Deep left field, Trey Mancini, bye-bye.
Well, this ball, middle in, and Trey Mancini, he puts the barrel in exactly the right spot. A no-doubter, he knew it off the bat. The left fielder knew it.
big number. That one hit well to center field. Going back on it is Miles Straw. Looking up, and that ball is gone. Trey Mancini does it again.
All he does is hit homers.
That's it.
1-2.
Fair ball and picked by Mancini. Off of the bench for Gurriel, and Trey Mancini keeps the Astros in front.
The Cubs were a team the whole time that we thought would be a great fit for me. I have a lot of Midwest roots and went to college nearby. And, and the team, too, it just seemed like a great fit.
Pretty good pickup.
I would say so.
My goodness. Trey's going to have a long way to go here and a tough chance. Trey
do it,
the
Trey.
Play.
Great play by Trey. Throws that big old glove out there and snatches that out.
Yeah, you're bigger than I thought you were. Have people dropped it on you?
Yeah, a lot of people have, actually. But, I was a first baseman my whole life. And normally when you're growing up, you're the biggest kid on the team. You're stuck at first. So that's how I ended up there.
And a big ovation now from this crowd for Trey Mancini. In the ear to right. Lowe doesn't see it. Lowe lost the ball. Trey's going to go to third. Trey's going to be waved home. Here comes Mancini. He is
safe.
Save! 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 A fairy tale has come to life.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is Hit and Run, Sunday mornings on The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and this is Trey Mancini, the brand new Chicago Cub. Well, not brand new, really. Dude has 16 hits already in spring training. And he joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Trey, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
Yeah, of course. Doing well. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm great. I've been looking forward to meeting you and getting to say hello. Didn't make it out to Mesa this year, but we'll say hello when we get to Wrigley. Welcome to Cubdom, and congrats on the 16 hits. I mean, you're the hit king for the Cubs in spring training. What do you get for that? Is there a trophy? Is there a plaque? Are you aware of anything?
I'm not sure if there's any Team Cactus League awards, in all seriousness, I'm just loving my time with the team so far. The guys are awesome. The coaches are incredible. It's been such a good fit, and I'm really excited to get it going this year.
I love the sport so much, as you obviously do, Trey, and the culture that it promotes. I always think of the it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's the line from League of Their Own. If it was easy, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great, So it's like, It's right? It's so difficult. So that means you guys are all talking to each other, trying to get better. Like, even you, people think of you as some old vet or whatever, but you're trying to get better like everybody else in this very difficult game, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's such a hard sport, possibly the hardest sport in the world. I mean, and there's so much failure that goes into the game. There's so much trials during the year, and you need your teammates to lean on, because they're the ones that really know what you're going through and what it's like to play on a daily basis. It's a lot of games, so you've got to have good camaraderie and good people around you to make every day great.
Have there been moments where you've had a conversation with a young Cub here at camp that they seemed to have found helpful so far?
Yeah, some. I always try to be open with those guys, especially earlier in camp when they're all there. Mervis is a guy with a similar kind of profile to me and reminds me of myself a lot at his age. So, I always tried to talk with him. Pete Crow Armstrong, I talked to a really good amount too. I really like him and the way he goes about the game. And there's a lot of others who I always tried to give advice to if they wanted it.
So those are two guys that kind of light Cubs fans' imaginations on fire. What did you like about Pete Crow Armstrong in terms of makeup and as a guy who thinks about the game?
Yeah, I didn't really realize how young he is, I guess, till I got here. I knew that he's had some success so far in his career, but I didn't know he's as young as he is. And he, kind of carries himself and acts older than he is, and that impressed me. So, he's a really good player, and he's going to be an exciting player once he hits the majors.
I always think about Mike Yastrzemski when I think about you, because you guys were tight coming up in Baltimore, right?
Yeah. He's one of my best friends, actually. Got drafted together back in 2013.
Yeah. And then there was a moment when he eventually made the bigs. He homered over your head. I think you were playing left field.
So I was at first base. But the ball did technically go over my head. It was his first major league homer, which is kind of crazy because, you know, he's playing for the Giants. I'm on the Orioles. We don't play each other very much. So it was pretty cool. I got to be there for that. But when he was rounding first, we both kind of like, you know, we made eye contact and we're smirking, trying not to smile. And it was a pretty cool moment. I didn't want to like obviously act too happy or anything like that. But inside I was, you know, I was thrilled. Yeah. Grinded it out for years in the minors and finally got an opportunity with San Francisco and look at him now. It's just so happy. It makes me so happy to see all the success he's had in his career.
It's really cool. I just had to mention that as the son of a Red Sox fan who fell in love with them in 1941, you know, it's like my whole family was following Mike Yaz, and just that day was very memorable. So love that you guys have that relationship. Hey, how much first base are you going to play? Do you know, Trey?
I'm not exactly positive. I'm moving around a lot, and that's what I'm used to. You know, that's what I've done my whole career. So wherever they want me, I'm there. That's my mentality. I love being in the lineup, and I don't really care where.
Here's how I know that you can play first base. That play you made on Schwarber. Dude, in the World Series, I think it was the first time you had played defense in like a month or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yes, I'm very happy I caught that ball. But, I got thrown into the fire there. Yuli unfortunately went down in the pickle he was in, the rundown. And, I had to come in, kind of cold turkey. But you got to be ready for that spot. And luckily I was, but it was a really cool moment to look back on and just so thankful I could contribute and help us win.
So a couple of months of Dusty Baker and now a couple of months of David Ross, right? What have you learned about managers as you watch? I mean, there's two very different guys, so take it anywhere you want. Give me something that they do that you had not necessarily seen before that makes some sense.
Well, they're both just like baseball guys to their core. I've been lucky enough to where every manager I've had is like that, though. I've loved all four managers I've gotten to play for between Showalter, Hyde, Dusty and Rossi now. They're all a little bit different, but all kind of similar in a lot of ways. You know, they, I'd say are all like players, managers, but you know, they expect a lot from their players and that's to play hard and play for the guy next to you. And if you do that, then, you know, they're going to be big fans of you. And that's the way I try to go about my business. So it's been really fun to play for all these guys.
It's interesting thinking about Dusty and Rossi being similar when you think of them as, you know, the massively different age gap and everything like that. But, you know, Ross has that thing where he can hold people accountable, but he's still likable. Right?
I mean, he does such an incredible job. I mean, like you said, he expects a lot out of the guys and he's so big on everybody really being a unit. Trusting the guy in front of you, trusting the guy behind you to get the job done. He expects a lot out of his players, but at the same time, he's always so approachable. Somebody you can always go and talk to and sometimes that can be two tough things to balance, but he does such a great job at it.
The Trey Mancini of the Cubs here with us on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Just a couple more things, Trey. Really appreciate the time. How do the dimensions of a ballpark affect hitters at the plate? You know, like what they did to you, they did you so dirty at Camden Yards, man. Oh, my God. It's just so like, how does it not get in your head or does it not get in your head when you realize that it's more difficult to hit bombs?
Yeah, I mean, ideally it doesn't get in your head, but at the same time, when a change that drastic's made, it's hard not to. And it can be frustrating the first few balls you hit in that area that would have been a homer, and it's not. You know, it's kind of tough to swallow, but, that's the dimensions of the field, so you got to live with it and know that that's the reality. So I didn't love it last year, but I let that be known. But at the same time, it was what it was, and it definitely, I think, helped our pitching staff out there a lot last year, and probably turned in a couple extra wins. So if that's the case, and it helps the team, then it was a good move. But it was a tough adjustment at first, especially for me and Mountcastle. We didn't love it.
Yeah, well, when do you get your first taste of Windy Wrigley when it's blowing out? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, dude!
Oh, yeah.
What that's going to do to the mindset is the inverse. And then the last thing: do I need to seek out the Mancini brand peppers, onions, hot sauces? Like, is it actually good? I know your great grandfather founded it, but like, I'm an old school, like, I really need to find out whether I should actually chase this family business and family brand down.
Yeah,
honestly,
you absolutely should. It's it's such a good product, and I'm not just saying that because it's my family's business. It's not extremely well known, but it's been in existence for over 100 years, and the peppers, onions, long hots, everything they make is so good. You can put them on sandwiches. I have them with like pasta a lot whenever I eat pasta. They're very dynamic. You can have them with a ton of different meals. It's not just one certain meal that you can have it with. So I strongly encourage you and anybody listening to try them out.
All right, I'm on it. I will give a review when I see you at Wrigley. Trey Mancini, thanks so much, man.
Please do.
All right, I will. Appreciate the time, Trey. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Trey Mancini of the Cubs. All right, I'm all over it. Mancini Foods, a cannery founded in New Britain, Connecticut, 1922. Somebody's reading Wikipedia. Yeah, I was. Guilty as charged. It's Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Lots to come in our next hour, including your phone calls at 312-644-6767. You'll hear from Rick Hahn. You'll hear about Paul Konerko. You'll hear from Nico Horner. All that and much, much more coming in our final hour of the show on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
67-67. It is Hit and Run on The Score.
1-0. Yeah, that's drilled. Deep left field, Trey Mancini, book-bob.
Well, this ball, middle in, and Trey Mancini, he puts the barrel in exactly the right spot. A no-doubter, he knew it off the bat. The left fielder knew it.
Big number. That one hit well to center field. Going back on it is Miles Straw. Looking up, and that ball is gone. Trey Mancini does it again.
All he does is hit homers.
That's it.
1-2.
Fair ball and picked by Mancini. Off of the bench for Gurriel, and Trey Mancini keeps the Astros in front.
The Cubs were a team the whole time that we thought would be a great fit for me. I have a lot of Midwest roots and went to college nearby. And the team, too, it just seemed like a great fit.
Pretty good pickup.
I would say so.
My goodness. Trey's going to have a long way to go here and a tough chance. Trey with the play.
Great play by Trey. Throws that big old glove out there and snatches that out.
Yeah, you're bigger than I thought you were. Have people dropped it on you?
Yeah, a lot of people have actually, but you know, I was a first baseman my whole life, and normally when you're growing up, you're the biggest kid on the team. You're stuck at first, so that's how I ended up there.
And a big ovation now from this crowd for Trey Mancini. In the air to right, Lowe doesn't see it. Lowe lost the ball. Trey's gonna go to third. Trey's gonna be waved home. Here comes Mancini. He
Save!
A fairy tale has come to life!
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It is Hit and Run, Sunday mornings on The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and this is Trey Mancini, the brand new Chicago Cub. Well, not brand new, really. Dude has 16 hits already in spring training. And he joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Trey, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
Yeah, of course. Doing well. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm great. I've been looking forward to meeting you and getting to say hello. Didn't make it out to Mesa this year, but we'll say hello when we get to Wrigley. Welcome to Cubdom. And congrats on the 16 hits. I mean, you're the hit king for the Cubs in spring training. What do you get for that? Is there a trophy? Is there a plaque? Are you aware of anything?
I'm not sure if there's any Team Cactus League awards. In all seriousness, I'm just loving my time with the team so far. The guys are awesome. The coaches are incredible. It's been such a good fit, and I'm really excited to get it going this year.
You know, I love the sport so much, as you obviously do, Trey, and the culture that it promotes. I always think of the it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's the line from League of Their Own. If it was easy, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great, you know? So it's like, it's right? It's so difficult. So that means you guys are all talking to each other, trying to get better. Like, even you, people think of you as some old vet or whatever, but you're trying to get better like everybody else in this very difficult game, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's such a hard sport, possibly the hardest sport in the world. I mean, and there's so much failure that goes into the game. There's so much trials during the year, and you need your teammates to lean on because they're the ones that really know what you're going through and what it's like to play on a daily basis. It's a lot of games, so you've got to have good camaraderie and good people around you to make every day great.
Have there been moments where you've had a conversation with a young Cub here at camp that they seemed to have found helpful so far?
Yeah, so I always try to be open with those guys, especially earlier in camp when they're all there. Mervis is a guy with a similar, kind of profile to me and reminds me of myself a lot at his age. So, I always try to talk with him. P. Crow Armstrong, I talk to a really good amount too. I really like him and the way he goes about the game and there's a lot of others who I always tried to give advice to if they wanted it.
So those are two guys that they kind of light Cubs fans' imaginations on fire. What did you like about Pete Crow Armstrong in terms of makeup and as a guy who thinks about the game?
Yeah, I didn't really realize how young he is, I guess, till I got here. I knew that he's had some success so far in his career, but I didn't know he's as young as he is. And he, kind of carries himself and acts, older than he is. And that impressed me. So, he's a really good player and he's going to be an exciting player once he hits the majors.
I always think about Mike Yastrzemski when I think about you, because you guys were tight coming up in Baltimore, right?
Yeah. He's one of my best friends, actually. Got drafted together back in 2013.
Yeah. And then there was a moment when he eventually made the bigs. He homered over your head. I remember, right? I think you, right? I think you were playing left field.
So I was at first base. I was first base. But the ball did technically go over my head. It was his first major league homer, which is kind of crazy because, he's playing for the Giants. I'm on the Orioles. We don't play each other very much. So it was pretty cool I got to be there for that. But when he was rounding first, we both kind of like, you know, we made eye contact and we're smirking, trying not to smile. And it was a pretty cool moment. You know, I didn't want to like obviously act too happy or anything like that. But inside I was, you know, I was thrilled. Yaz grinded it out for years in the minors and finally got an opportunity with San Francisco. And you know, look at him now. It's just so happy. It makes me so happy to see all the success he's had in his career.
It's really cool. I just had to mention that as the son of a Red Sox fan who fell in love with them in 1941, you know, it's like my whole family was following Mike Yaz, and just that day was very memorable. So love that you guys have that relationship. Hey, how much first base are you going to play? Do you know, Trey?
You know, some. No, I'm not exactly positive. I'm moving around a lot, and that's what I'm used to. You know, that's what I've done my whole career. So wherever they want me, I'm there. That's my mentality. I love being in the lineup, and I don't really care where.
Here's how I know that you can play first base. That play you made on Schwarber. Dude, in the World Series, I think it was the first time you had played defense in like a month or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yes, I'm very happy I caught that ball. But, you know, I got thrown into the fire there. Yuli unfortunately went down in the pickle he was in, the rundown. And, I had to come in, you know, kind of cold turkey. But you got to be ready for that spot. And luckily I was, but it was a really cool moment to look back on and you know, just so thankful I could contribute and help us win.
So a couple of months of Dusty Baker and now a couple of months of David Ross, right? What have you learned about managers as you watch? I mean, there's two very different guys, so take it anywhere you want. Like, give me something that they do that you had not necessarily seen before that makes some sense.
Well, they're both just like baseball guys to their core. I've been lucky enough to where every manager I've had is like that, though. You know, I've loved all four managers I've gotten to play for between Showalter, Hyde, Dusty and Rossi now. You know, they're all a little bit different, but all kind of similar in a lot of ways. You know, they, I'd say are all like players, managers, but you know, they expect a lot from their players and that's to play hard and play for the guy next to you. And if you do that, then, you know, they're going to be big fans of you. And you know, that's the way I try to go about my business. So it's been really fun to play for all these guys.
It's interesting thinking about Dusty and Rossi being similar when you think of them as, you know, the massively different age gap and everything like that. But, you know, Ross has that thing where he can hold people accountable, but he's still likable. Right?
It's I mean, he does such – yeah, he does such an incredible job. I mean – like you said, he expects a lot out of the guys and you know, he's so big on everybody really being a unit. You know, just, you know, trusting the guy in front of you, trusting the guy behind you to get the job done. And, you know, he expects a lot out of his players, but at the same time, he's always so approachable. Somebody you can always go and talk to and you know, sometimes that can be two tough things to balance, but he does such a great job at it.
The Trey Mancini of the Cubs here with us on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Just a couple more things, Trey. Really appreciate the time. How do the dimensions of a ballpark affect hitters at the plate? You know, like what they did to you, they did you so dirty at Camden Yards, man. Oh, my God. It's just so like, how does it not get in your head, or does it not get in your head when you realize that it's more difficult to hit bombs?
Yeah, I mean, ideally it doesn't get in your head, but at the same time, when a change that drastic's made, it's hard not to. You know, and it can be frustrating the first few balls you hit in that area that would have been a homer, and it's not. You know, it's kind of tough to swallow, but, you know, that's the dimensions of the field, so you got to live with it and you know that that's the reality. So I didn't love it last year, but and I let that be known, but at the same time, you know, it was what it was, and it definitely, I think, helped our pitching staff out there a lot last year, and probably, yeah, you know, turned in a couple extra wins. So if that's the case, and it helps the team, then it was a good move. But it was a tough adjustment at first, especially for me in Mountcastle. We didn't love it.
Yeah, well, wait till you get your first taste of Windy Wrigley when it's blowing out. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's, what that's going to do to the mindset is the inverse. And then the last thing, do I need to seek out the Mancini brand peppers, onions, hot sauces? Like, is it actually good? I know your great-grandfather founded it, but, like, I'm an old school, like, I really need to find out whether I should actually chase this family business and family brand down.
Yeah,
honestly,
you absolutely should. It's it's such a good product, and I'm not just saying that because it's my family's business. It's not extremely well known, but it's been in existence for over 100 years, and the peppers, onions, long hots, everything they make is so good. You can put them on sandwiches. I have them with like pasta a lot whenever I eat pasta. They're very dynamic. You can have them with a ton of different meals. It's not just one certain meal that you can have it with. So I strongly encourage you and anybody listening to try them out.
All right, I'm on it. I will give a review when I see you at Wrigley. Trey Mancini, thanks so much, man.
Please do.
All right, I will. Appreciate the time, Trey. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Trey Mancini of the Cubs. All right, I'm all over it. Mancini Foods, a cannery founded in New Britain, Connecticut, 1922. Somebody's reading Wikipedia. Yeah, I was. Guilty as charged. It's Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Lots to come in our next hour, including your phone calls at 312-644-6767. You'll hear from Rick Hahn. You'll hear about Paul Konerko. You'll hear from Nico Horner. All that and much, much more come in our final hour of the show on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.